attending this class together. So I'll attempt to present the past times here forward, which has been very nicely depicted by Srila Prabhupada. So we are in the chapter 9, which is the passing away of Bhishma Dev in the presence of Lord Krishna. So this is my humble offering to all the devotees of the Lord who are assembled here, and I would like to seek their blessing so that I can present the thing as it is presented by the acharyas in the parampara. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Now we recite, everyone recite these prayers together. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam satyam jayam udirae nastaprayesu avadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. Hare Krishna. So we are in chapter 9, and I would like just briefly go over what has happened since chapter 1 to chapter 9. So it's a very brief introduction. Chapter 1, the first three verse, is the prelude to the whole Bhagavatam, which tells what is the content of the Bhagavatam. So chapter 1, verse 1 is the definition of the Absolute Truth, and verse 2 is defining what is Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is the highest religion and glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, and revealed by Srila Vyasadeva. He is the author of Srimad Bhagavatam. The third verse tells about the content. It's a mature fruit of all Vedic literature spoken by Srila Shukadeva Goswami, and it is an open invitation to all the devotees to study Bhagavatam. Now, we know, as in the first scene, Bhagavatam was a question answer session. The questions were asked by Sonaka Rishi to Suta Goswami. So here is Suta Goswami, and the sages are sitting here, Omnamisharina. And they are asking questions. So the first set of questions they asked was this six very important questions. What is the ultimate good for all people? And the last of this question was, to whom all religious principles gone after the shelter of his departure. His departure means Lord Krishna's departure. So in the second chapter onwards, Suta Goswami, he started describing or giving answers to all those questions. So he gave answers to the first four questions, and in the third chapter, he describes the 24 incarnations of Krishna. And he says that Lord Shri Krishna is the source of all the incarnations. So that is up to chapter 3. At the end of chapter 3, there was a question, to whom have religious principles gone for shelter after his departure, after Lord Krishna's departure? Where would people take shelter? So there is a verse which is almost the last verse of third chapter, which says, after Krishna left, the Bhagavat Purana was given, or Srimad Bhagavatam was given, and devotees can take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is as brilliant as the sun. And with the help of the study of Srimad Bhagavatam, the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this particular Purana. Then comes chapter 4, and before that, the disciplic succession, how we receive this message, is given. It is coming directly from Krishna. It has been understood, Krishna gave this message to Lord Brahma, and from Brahma he explained this message to his son Narada Muni, and from Narada Muni to Vyasadeva, from Vyasadeva to his son Sukadeva Goswami, and from Sukadeva Goswami, in that assembly, Suta Goswami was also present. So he heard that, and his disciple later, 500 years later, they asked him what happened in the assembly of Suta Goswami. Sorry, Sukadeva Goswami. What did you hear? So he started narrating the thing. And we are fortunate that we get this message in the disciplic succession, and to us it was given by Srila Prabhupada. So in the fourth chapter, chapter 4 to chapter 7, it is described how Srimad Bhagavatam is recorded. Right? So they again ask three categories of questions. First category of question was on Srila Vyasadev, and the second category of question was about Sukadeva Goswami. But he was a liberated soul, then why did he show interest in studying Srimad Bhagavatam? That was the particular question about him. And then how Parikshit Maharaj heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadev Goswami. So these were the three sets of questions which was asked in the beginning of chapter 4. So Suta Goswami started replying that, and he said that Vyasadeva, after writing all the Vedas or all the scriptures, the Mahabharata, he wrote so many books, he was dejected. And at that very point when he was dejected, his spiritual master comes. His spiritual master is Narada Muni. And then Narada Muni is giving him that explanation that you didn't write something about Lord Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why there is an emptiness. You wrote so many things, but you didn't mention about Lord Krishna. So after that, he explains about his, there's a question answer conversation between Narada Muni and Vyasadev. And Narada Muni explains about his lifetime, that how he became Narada Muni. And basic was, he became Narada Muni by glorifying the Lord. He took the remnants of the devotees of the Lord, and just by serving them, he got their blessings. And then that particular lifetime, he just got one time darshan of the Lord. But after that, in the next lifetime, he became pure devotee as like Narada Muni. After that, Narada Muni leaves, and then he tells him to write something about Lord. So Vyasadev meditates, and after the meditation, completion of the meditation, he starts writing the scripture, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Once he wrote it, he revised it, he revisited it, and after that he explained that to his son, Suta Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami. So then Suta Goswami says that now I will continue forward explaining the pastimes of the Lord. So here it begins in chapter number 5. So chapter number 5 and chapter number 6, he starts explaining the beginning of the pastimes of the Lord Krishna. So he starts with the end of the Kurukshetra war. What happens after the end of the Kurukshetra war? He says so many soldiers were killed, so many Maharathas, Atirathas, they were all killed. And Duryodhan was smashed by Bhima. To make Duryodhan happy, Dronacharya's son, Aswatthama, he took a vow that he is going to kill all the Pandavas. But by mistake, he kills all the sons of Pandavas. And that was a very heinous act. And Duryodhana even didn't support it. So after hearing this message that all his sons were killed, Arjuna took a vow that he is going to cut the head of Aswatthama. So he brings Aswatthama, he drags him and brings him there. Before that, what happens is, he releases a Brahmastra, I think. Yeah. So Draupadi comes when he is dragged and is brought to Draupadi. Draupadi is trying to protect him because he is son of his Guru Maharaj, of their Guru Maharaj. And after this, what happens is he releases another Brahmastra to kill Parikshit Maharaj. And Krishna again saved them, right, in the womb. As a Paramatma, he can do that. So he saves them and he also gives him a new body. Later pastimes reveals that when all these things happened, Lord Krishna is ready to go for Dwaraka. So Kunti Devi prays to him that please don't go, because she is a pure devotee of the Lord. She took complete shelter of Lord Krishna and she doesn't want him to go. Anyway, after that, Krishna convinced him to go, and then when he was leaving, then Yudhishthira Maharaj said that you please don't go. So please stay with us for some time. So this is where Yudhishthira Maharaj is requesting. So Krishna agreed to that, and after that, King Yudhishthira was coronated, and all the functions, the rituals were performed to, all the rituals are performed for the people who were dying in the battlefield. And then we come to this particular chapter where Pandavas prepare to go to meet Bhishma Dev. This is chapter 9. So this is what has happened so far in summary. So who is Bhishma Pitamaha? So Bhishma Pitamaha is one of the Mahajans. There are 12 Mahajans, right? Yamaraj. Yamaraj said this to the people who came to capture Yamaduta. Yeah, so at that time. So there he describes that Bhishma Pitamaha is one of the Mahajans, that there are 12 Mahajans. And one should follow, because there is so much complexity in the religious system which is available, or in the Veda, there is so much complexity. So in order to attain, or in order to get liberation, and in order to follow the path of bhakti, you know, whom should we follow? So then Yamaraj says that you should follow the Mahajans. Now he is one of the 12 Mahajan, and he is one of the leader of the Kuru family. So Kuru family, we'll see later, he is one of the topmost position, in the topmost position. Everybody goes to him for asking any kind of question. Also, Bhishma Pitamaha always protected the Pandavas. The Pandavas are the sons of Pandu. Pandavas are the son of Pandu, who is the son of Vyasadev. Now this is a very complex diagram, but if just just to show that how big the family was, and he was the head of the family. I mean, this is just
one part of it.
He is just head of the family because he is at here, at this position. He is son of Shantanu and Mother Ganga. And Shantanu is a descendant of, he is not exactly the son of Bharata, but he was very capable. So that's why he was being given as a king, or he was being nominated as a king. But Pandu, you know, he has to leave his body. And the Pandavas, these are the Pandavas, they were very small. So Bhishma Pitamaha, he took care of them and gave protection to all of them when they were growing up. Right. Also, he is one of the Mahajan. And he was being given the ability to leave his body at will. He can die because he took that vow for his father. That his father is wanted to marry Satyavati. And he was coming in, somehow they thought that he is in, his sons will rule and all this. So that's why he took a vow that no, I am not going to get married. That's it. And I will not have children, nothing. So then I will protect the kingdom. So that's how he was given this ability to leave the body. Above all, he was a pure devotee of the Lord. But some of his actions were very mysterious. Being a pure devotee of the Lord, we expect certain behavior, right? It's after certain, following certain rules and norms. But in his life, we can see that there are certain things which he did, which is kind of unthinkable. First thing which he did, he fight against Krishna in the Mahabharata war. Second thing is, he also fought against his guru, Parshuram. Right? And how is a Mahajan? So Srila Prabhupada is explaining in detail, we'll see that later, that he gives all these reasons why he took that role. And the third and the very important thing is, when Draupadi was disrobed, he didn't speak anything. He is the head of the family. Everybody would have listened to him. And he is a very powerful general. But he didn't speak up. So why didn't he do that? So Srila Prabhupada explains that, and we'll go over that later. And he is also one of the 8 Vasus. So this has been explained by Madhavacharya, that who are these vasus? So the demigods are divided into three categories. First category is Adityas or the son of Aditi. Second category is Vasus. Vasus, they are a son of Vasu. Mm-hmm. So Daksha Prajapati had 10,000 sons, if you remember. Mm-hmm. Right? And after that, you know, Narada Muni came and preached them, and they took all Brahmacharya Ashram. So then he had again 1,000 sons. They are called as Savalaswas. And then he again preached them, and they all left. So he was very mad at Narada Muni. And then he cursed Narada Muni that you cannot stay in one place for more than 2 or 3 days. So he was very happy. He can travel all the places. So he was happy. Anyway, then he had 60 daughters. So out of those 60 daughters, they were given to different rishis. Because the role of Prajapati is to populate the universe. So his daughters would help to populate the universe, right? Progenitors. So one of the daughter got married to Vasu, and then they had 8 sons, and they are Vasus. And Bhishma Pitama is one of the Vasu. So his name is Dios, or he represents sky. And he took birth as Bhishma Pitama. So this is some information given about him. But then how did he come to this material world? So one of the wife of these 8 demigods, before that, Vasishtha Muni had a cow. His name is, the name of the cow was Kamadhenu. And the cow could give whatever he asked for. So Vasishtha Muni's cow, everybody was interested in his cow. So so the queen of one of the Vasu, she asked the husband that, you know, I want that cow. And to which the husband agreed. So they went and stole the cow. And when they stole the cow, you know, it was Bhishma who actually took out the cow, and he actually stole it. So that's why, you know, after this incident, when they stole it, Vasishtha Muni could know that, you know, who stole it, because he was Trikalagi, he could understand that. So then he cursed them that, okay, you know, you will take a birth in the material world. But the one who stole it will each one will be going to the material world, and then they're coming back. But the one who stole it has to live longer there. So that's how Bhishma had to live longer. So he also fought against Lord Krishna in the Kurukshetra war. And he was shot by Arjuna, and he got that bed of arrows, right? He got it because this was a kind of punishment to him. Why? Because he didn't protect Draupadi. So Prabhupada is saying that he acted like this because Krishna wanted him to act like this. Krishna wanted to show that even if you are a Mahajan, but if you are you have failed to protect a woman, then you will be, you know, destroyed. So you will be in this situation. So if you see, he was so powerful that he defeated his guru. Because he was a Vasu, he could fought with Parshuram and defeated his guru. But in this case, he was defeated by Arjuna. Now he left his body at the Uttarayan. Uttarayan means it is winter. So the sun generally, is, if you are looking, this is from Earth's point of view. The sun is traveling like this from here to there. Now, when the sun travels, generally it travels like this as well as it travels in this direction. So in the winter, from summer it goes like this and come to this place. And on 22nd December onwards, it starts going this way. Upward position. So this is the time of Uttarayan. And Bhishma Dev left because it's given in the Vedas that when you leave, it's easy to travel to the spiritual world. And at the end of when he is leaving his body, his only desire is to focus his mind fully on Krishna. So Krishna fulfilled his desire. And he came in front of him and gave his darshan, and he just kept his eyes like a bumblebee This will be explained at the end of chapter 9. We are just in the beginning of chapter 9. At the end of chapter 9, it explained that he has opened his eyes and he took complete darshan, he was completely satisfied. And Prabhupada is saying that, you know, in case of Draupadi, Draupadi had to call, pray to call for Krishna, but in case of this Bhishma, Krishna came himself. So we begin with chapter 9, verse 1. It's a very simple 10 verses. The concept of here is Yudhishthir Maharaj prepares to go to Bhishma Pitama. Now, Krishna has a plan. Yudhishthir Maharaj was very much dejected after the Mahabharata war. He was very unhappy, very sad. And nobody could convince him, including Krishna and Vyasadeva. Nobody could convince him. Because Krishna had a plan that only he will be pacified by Bhishma Dev after hearing his instructions. That's why Krishna wanted him to go there. So as we saw last time that Maharaj Yudhishthir will not go through the verses because of the time constraint. We'll only have 20 minutes, 20 to 25 minutes. So I'll try to cover as much as possible. So this chapter begins with Suta Goswami said, being afraid of having killed so many subjects on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhishthir went to the scene of the massacre. There Bhishmadeva was lying on the bed of arrows about to pass away. So Bhishmadeva was lying there, and after the coronation of Maharaj Yudhishthir as a king, Lord Krishna planned to visit Bhishmadeva, as I told earlier, and it was Krishna's will that Bhishmadeva instructs Yudhishthir on the subject of occupational duties. So the Pandavas travel along with the brothers and Lord Krishna. They all travel and they were in their full attire. They were wearing all the jewelries and the horses and everything was studded with gold. They were in the full royal attire. So Prabhupada explains why they were taking this position, why they are wearing such kind of dresses to meet their grandfather. So Prabhupada says that because Bhishmadeva was supporting the Kauravas at the time of the battle of Mahabharata, he knew that the Pandavas were very pious and they had to go through all the sufferings of their life, in their life. He wanted to see that Yudhishthir becomes king. So Krishna wanted that they go in their dress as a king and visit Bhishmadeva. And then he knew his heart. So he'll be very happy that everything is now safe. Now I can leave my body. So that's the reason. So the chariots are decorated with gold ornaments just to satisfy Krishna. And this occasion where Bhishmadeva is leaving his body is such an occasion. Prabhupada says in one of his lectures, during the Vyas Puja of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that for a Vaishnava, whether he is appearing or whether he is leaving this world, both the acts are very, very auspicious. Why? Because then the sun never sets. If you see the sun is setting in one place, but there is a sun rising in another place. So a Vaishnava leaving a body in this particular world, he will definitely have, because he is a Vaishnava, he is following the Lord, his instruction of the Lord, he will do the same activity. So his instructions are same as whether he is present or not. So this moment that he is going to start a new life is very, very auspicious. So that's why many, many rishis like Vyasadev, Domya, there are many rishis, we'll come in later, we'll see that. They all followed, or they all wanted to visit or be a part of this particular occasion. Yudhishthir appeared like Kuvira in the royal attire. Lord Krishna wanted Pandavas to be presented in the royal attire to make Bhishmadeva happy before he leaves his body. As soon as they reached there, Yudhishthir bowed down before Bhishma, and Lord Krishna also following the humanly customs, he also bowed down in front of Bhishmadeva. Now, Bhishmadev knew who Krishna is because he's a pure devotee. He knew. In one of the assembly, you know, where Shishupal was killed, if you all recall that, you know, he openly said, "Do you know who is Krishna? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has just taken this form. He is the controller of everything." He kept on going and going and praising Lord Krishna. Now he is in this position and he sees that Krishna is following these humanly customs. He is bowed down before. What are, you know, what will be in his heart? But he knows these, all these things. All the great souls in the universe from all over the place came to attend most auspicious moment. Now they came, Prabhupada explains, for two reasons. And also Prabhupada Maharaj in his class is saying that there are two purposes of the stages coming. Those purposes were to receive and give. What is receiving here? To be a part of this glorious occasion. They want to be the part of this occasion. It's a glorious occasion, departure of a very elevated Vaishnava, one of the Mahajan. And secondly, the sages went there just to be, by their presence, they bring auspiciousness. Because wherever the sages go, they carry with them Krishna. Right, and just by their presence, the atmosphere becomes auspicious. So this was to give and to receive. So from verse 9 to verse 6 to 7, it describes all the rishis which were present, who were present, and they were there. This is a whole list: Parvata Muni, Narad Muni, Dhomya Muni, Vyasadeva himself, Bhadrasva, Bhardwaj, Parshuram, and his disciples, Vasishtha Muni, Indaprabha Muni, Tritha, Grata Samada, Ashita, Kakshivan, Kautama, Atri, Kaushika, and Sudarshan. And there are three more given in the next verse. So they were all present. Now Prabhupada, in his description in the purport, he describes about all of them. It's very, very interesting. Please read it. I'll just go over the highlight the very important points which has been. So we know about Parvata Muni, right? Who is always accompanying Narada Muni? Do you recall any pastime? No. His hunter, Brigari. Right. So Parvata Muni is the same Muni. You know. So he is a very old friend of Narada Muni. You can say that. So Devarshi, he is Devarshi. Devarshi means a great sage among the demigod. He is one of the oldest rishi and he is a constant companion of Narada Muni. The Parvat Muni and Narada Muni are also called Gandharvas because they can travel in the air singing the glories of the Lord. Since they can travel in the air, they observed Gopadi's Swayamvara from the air. They can, you know, like we have to travel, they can go wherever they wish to go in any part of the world. So this is about Parvata Muni. Narada Muni, I don't have to speak. We can write books and books about him. You know, but here there is something very interesting. He initiated Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Vasudev, father of Krishna, and many celebrated devotees of the Lord and kings, including Maharaj Yudhishthir. He even initiated Vyasadev, and from Vyasadev, Madhavacharya, and then this our disciplic line succession. So he is one of the acharyas in our disciplic succession. Dhomya Muni. So he is the royal priest of the Pandava kings and he acted as a priest in the many religious functions of the Pandavas, the samskaras. He was doing the samskaras for the Pandavas. He was present even during the exile of the Pandavas and he advised them in these circumstances when they were perplexed. Right? He gave religious instruction very elaborately to Maharaj Yudhishthir in the ashram of occupational duties. So here is an important point: is there is a practically no difference between the family priest and the spiritual master. The sages and the saints, and the brahmanas were especially meant for this particular function. That's what Srila Prabhupada said. Badrayana. Now, Vyasadeva's another name is Badrayana, and earlier I didn't knew, but just wanted to confirm. Most of you might be knowing it. So you know, in the Vedanta Sutra, if you read, most of the times it's said Vedanta Sutra is written by Badrayana. So Badrayana is actually Vyasadeva, is another name. So the rishis have various names and we might get confused. So
I
sometimes,
must accept.
yeah.
Madhurayana and Vyasadeva as same identity,
yeah.
Whereas Maya and Shankaracharya disciples, they accept Madhurayana as a separate person.
A separate person, yeah.
They don't accept him as Vyasadeva.
Yeah, so you know, if you read like this, you know, generally I also got confused like a couple of years back, but then I heard like, you know, they are same in Prabhupada saying that Badrayana and Vyasadeva. Yeah. But he has many other names, like, you know, Krishna Dvaipayana, Vyas, Parasaratmaja, you know, and all these names. And he is author of all these scriptures, most of the scriptures, you know. Bhadraswamani, an ancient sage who used to meet Maharaj Yudhishthira now and then. First, he met Maharaj Yudhishthira at the Kamyavan. This sage has narrated the history of Maharaj Nala to Maharaj Yudhishthira. Bharadwaj Muni, he is one of the seven great rishis when present at the time of the birth ceremony of Arjuna. It is learned that this rishi was taking bath in the Ganges, happened to meet Ghatachi, one of the beautiful society girls of the heaven, and thus he discharged his semen, which he was kept and preserved in earthen pot from which Drona was born. So Dronacharya is the son of Bharadwaj Muni. He also approached Duracharya, because he is his father of Dronacharya. He also approached him at the time of the battlefield of Kurukshetra to stop this war. But he didn't totally listen. Renukasuta. So Parshunam is a son of Maharshi Jamadagni and Renuka Devi. So that's why his name is Renukasuta. So you know Parshuram's activities, you know, he destroyed the Kshatriya, entire Kshatriyas 21 times. And then he gave that, after destruction, he gave the whole thing to Kashyapa Muni. He gave them charity. And then he went to the Mahendra Parvat for doing the penance. He also fought. He's a spiritual master of Bhishma, fought with Bhishma and could not defeat Bhishma. At last, Parashuram was pleased with Bhishma and gave him the benediction for becoming the greatest fighter of the world. So he was also guru of Parshuram. Bhishmadev. He was also the guru of. And why did they fight? Because of Amba. So because of Amba, Amba asked him to marry Bhishmadev. Bhishmadev said, I can't marry you. So his spiritual master wanted him to get married, because what happened is he took Amba Ambalika and Ambika for marriage of Vichitravirya and Vichitravirya, yeah. Other son was killed, so for Vichitravirya. But Amba was in love with Salva. So she said, no, I want to go back to Salva. When he goes back to Salva, he says, I cannot take you because Bhishma already captured you. So then he said, you get married to me. So Bhishma said, I took a vow, I cannot marry. So what should I do? So then she goes to all the sages, and the sages say that, you know, you have to marry. But Bhishma says, I cannot. And then he gives all the religious arguments, even to his Guru Maharaj. And so Parshuram said that, you know, you need to fight with me, and we'll decide on the battlefield. And they both fought. And ultimately, he could not defeat. The war went for a long time. And then Parshuram's father, Jamadagni, he comes and tells that he is one of the Vasu, you cannot defeat him. So better stop the fight. So as soon as the fight stopped, Bhishma Pitamma went and fell at the feet of his Guru Maharaj. And he was very happy. That's why he's saying, at last Parshuram was pleased with Bhishma and gave him the benediction of becoming the greatest fighter of the world. That's how this happened. Vasishtha Muni, he is one of the great celebrated sages among the Brahmanas, as well as known as Brahma Rishi Vasishtha Deva. He had this cow, right? After whom everybody wants to go and want that, including Vishwamitra. So because he was so much tortured, he wanted to commit suicide. So once he tried to commit suicide on the account of Vishwamitra's torture. And he tried many times actually, not one time. So even sages do that, you know. So he tried so many times, but somehow, you know, he jumped from the hill, and as soon as he jumped, he fell down. It was a cotton, think of something like cotton, then he fell on some cotton, stack of cotton. So, you know, he was he was trying to do, he fell in the water, he could not die. So Krishna was protecting him. Indra Pramada Rishi, and about him, he is only given, he is one of the celebrated Rishi, but not more details are given. Trita Rishi, he is one of the three sons of Prajapati Gautama. By the dint of severe penance, he was promoted to Brahmaloka. So, and he was one of the seven sages of the Varuna Loka. So, more details are given. Please read, because there's too much detail. I cannot go over with this.
One of the key points is, all these sages have come 5,000 years ago, but all these people have lived for at least one kalpa long.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
For multiple Satyugas and multiple Tretayugas.
Absolutely, yeah. Grata Samada Rishi, one of the sages in the heavenly kingdom, he was close friend of Indra, the king of heaven. He was a great as Brihaspati. He used to visit Royal Assembly of Maharaj Yudhishthira and explain the glories of Lord Shiva. Right. Asita, there are two different rishis. One is Asita Rishi and one is Asita Devala Rishi. So here, this particular rishi, Asita, means Asita, Prabhupada is saying, is Asita Devala Rishi. He is a great powerful sage of the time. He explained his father 1,500,000 verses from Mahabharata. He is one of the member of the snake sacrifice of Maharaj Janmeja. He was present during the coronation of the ceremony of Maharaj Yudhishthira along with the other great rishis. So, I mean, we can see that, you know, from time to time, when the description, hear the description of about this great sages, that they visit, whenever there is auspicious occasion, they visit to give benediction just by their presence. Kashiwan Rishi, he is a son of Gautam Muni and is one of the sons of Gautam Muni and the father of the great sage Chanda Kaushika. He is one of the member of the parliament of Maharaj Yudhishthira. Atri Rishi, he is one of the seven sons, mental sons of Brahmaji. The sons are known as Manasaputra. So Brahmaji could create sons from his mind, just by the prayers, because he was also one of the Prajapatis, right? He is the original Prajapati, first Prajapati. So he can think and he can create, so much power. In his family, the great Prachetas were also born. Kaushika Rishi, he is one of the permanent Rishi member in the Royal Assembly of Maharaj Yudhishthira. And because he is in the assembly of Maharaj Yudhishthira, he will definitely meet Lord Krishna.
So we normally say that only the 12 Mahajan knows who Krishna is.
No, we don't say that. I mean, they also know actually. If you want to follow the spiritual life, you should, because there is so much complexity, so much scripture, so much things available. So if you want to be devotee, then you need to follow the Mahajans, that's
yes.
All.
But we also say
Asita,
Devala, Vyasa, all these people also know Krishna.
Yes.
So are they not then
Mahajans? They are not. Because it is described by Yamaraj that these are the 12 Mahajans.
For us to follow in the footsteps is Mahajan. But there are so many rishis,
yeah.
So many things they know. But for us, we should follow in the footsteps of the 12 Mahajans.
They are greater than us.
Or are these sages following the Mahajans?
Yeah, definitely, sages each other.
So the sages
yeah,
follow
yes.
Somebody.
Yes.
Yeah,
definitely, yes. So Sudarshana, so Lord Krishna's one of the weapon is Sudarshana. Now that all the weapons what Lord carries, they are actually person. So they take that form. They serve the Lord in the Shantarasa. So Sudarshana is one of the devotee of the Lord, very close devotee of the Lord, and he performed the action. So Sudarshana also visited. The wheel which is accepted by personality of Godhead, Vishnu Krishna, in his personal weapon is the most powerful weapon, greater than Brahmastra or similar other disastrous weapon. It is said that Agnidev, the fire god, presented this weapon to Lord Shri Krishna, but factually this weapon is eternally carried by the Lord. So in the past tense you will hear that Agnidev gave it. Right. Like, you know, some king giving their daughter to Lord Krishna. But that daughter may be, you know, eternally the associate of the Lord. So it is just the pastime, you know. So in the 8th verse, and many others like Sukadev Goswami and other purified souls, Kashyapa, Angira, Muni, and all others, accompanied by their respective disciple, arrived there. So here in the 8th verse, the three different devotees are described here. One is Sukadev Goswami, other is Kashyapa Muni, and then is Angirasa Muni. So we know about Sukadev Goswami. He spoke about Bhagavatam, and you know, he heard Bhagavatam from his father. He is a disciple and son of Vyasadeva, who taught him Mahabharata and then Srimad Bhagavatam. So, there is, you know, too much. We don't have time actually right now, otherwise we'll go through this. Kashyap Rishi, he is one of the Prajapati, the son of Marichi, and one of the son-in-law of Prajapati Daksha. He is the father of gigantic bird Garuda, who was given elephants and tortoise as eatables. It's interesting that how Garuda is eating. He's a bird. He likes snakes. He married to the 13 daughters of Prajapati Daksha, and their names are Aditi, Diti, and you know, all the names are given. He begot many children, both demigods and demons, by those wives. From his first wife, Aditi, all the 12 Adityas were born, and from them, one of them is Vamana, the incarnation of God. So we saw in the demigod there are three categories, right? If you remember, Adityas, Vasus, and Rudras. So Adityas are born from Kashyapa Muni and Adityas. Okay. Angirasa Rishi, son of Maharshi Angira, and is known as Brihaspati. He is the priest of the demigods. Dronacharya was his partial incarnation. Sukracharya was a spiritual master of the demons, and Brihaspati challenged him. He could travel in the space and therefore could present himself even in the planets of Brahmaloka and Indraloka. He advised King of Heaven, Indra, about conquering the demons. Once he also cursed Indra to become hog. And when Indra came to this material world and he was living like a hog, then Brahmaji came and asked him to go back. That, okay. Brihaspati, yes. The other name is Angirasa.
So there is a reference to that story. Where we can read more about that story?
Bhagavat, in the Bhagavatam itself. I mean, I have just shortened it. The Bhagavatam itself.
Talking about the last story. The
Indra Pasen. I don't recall exactly. But I just read it here. But Prabhupada is saying that even Indra, when he is in the bodily concept of life, living as a hog, he was asked to go back. He said that, okay, you know, I don't want to go, I have family, and I have to take care of this and that, you know, I don't want to go back.
My son hogs.
Yes.
I'm doing very nicely.
This brings us to the second last verse, where Bhishma Dev is the best among the 8 Vasus, received and welcomed all the great and powerful rishis who were assembled there, for he knew perfectly all the religious principle according to time and place. Now we can understand what is his situation. He is lying in the bed of arrows, and all these great personalities are coming to visit him at the time of death. So how to receive such great personalities when you are in such a dire condition of life? So this is what Bhishma Dev is teaching, and Lord Krishna wants us to know that how to receive guests when even you are in the worst conditions of life. The bottom line is appropriate words and deep feeling from the core of the heart. That's how he could, because he could not even move. He was stuck in one place. So he received all of them with his appropriate words and with his deep feelings from the core of his heart. Why? Because he is one of the Mahajans, you know, he is an expert religionist who knows perfectly well how to adjust religious principles in terms of time, place
and circumstances. Here only time and places are given. But Prabhupada uses a lot of time, time, place and circumstances. So he is a perfect example. He knows how to apply this principle, whatever we have learned. See, generally we make mistakes. After becoming devotees, we make mistakes that, okay, this is given in the book, we just follow this. And we are very rigid about that. But expert religionists, you know, what they do, they based on the time, place and circumstances, you know, they are able to adjust the things. And that is what Bhishma Dev did. And Krishna wants us to learn from Bhishma Dev's example. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya, there was a family with father and two sons. So when they were leaving Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya gave three different instructions. The situation is same. He gave three different instructions to three different people. One of them, he gave the instruction that you carry on with the material life and you earn money. Second one, he gave the instruction that you do deity worship. And the third one, and he gave the instruction that you stay in Jagannath Puri. So, you know, Lord Chaitanya also applied these principles. That's what Prabhupada was saying.
Triple S form.
Yeah? Yeah.
Triple S form.
Yes.
Save, serve and spread. One of them was Brahmachari, he asked him to serve the deities. Another one was Grihastha, he asked him to accumulate wealth and to serve the deities of the Vaishnavas. Third spread, he was a sannyasi. He asked him to spread the glories.
Please up aloud. Bishwadeva Mahajan, and therefore he could receive and welcome all the powerful sages assembled in there at his deathbed from all parts of the universe. He was certainly unable to, now this is a very important, that's why I would like to read it. He was certainly unable at that time to welcome and receive them physically, because he was neither at his home nor in a normal Hindi condition. But he was quite fit by the activities of his sound mind, and therefore he could utter sweet word and hearty expression, and all of them were well received. So this is how received everybody. One can perform one's duty by physical work, by mind and by words. We can perform any action by these three ways. And here he is an expert to utilize them in the proper place, and therefore there was no difficulty for him to receive them appropriately.
Manasa vacha karmana.
Yeah.
So one question about the previous Kashyap Muni slide. You can, if you are able to. So demons can also say, we are in the lineage of Kashyap Muni, therefore we are authorized.
Yeah, they say it, right? Not can say, they say it. They are convinced what they are doing is right. That's why they do it. But Hiranyakashipu was convinced that whatever desire is asking for is correct. He wants to be immortal.
And Ravana was convinced that he knew all the scriptures.
Scriptures, yeah. So they were convinced. This brings us to the final verse. So Lord Krishna was also went there. So he also received Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, yet he manifests his transcendental form by his internal potency. This very Lord was sitting before Bhishma Dev, and since Bhishma Dev knew of his glories, he worshipped him duly. So Lord Krishna was the Lord of his heart, because he is a pure devotee. He can always only think about one thing, that is about Lord Krishna. And it was his desire, as I mentioned earlier, that was his intense desire that Lord visits him at the time of his death. That's why Lord came him to give his darshan. And his desire was that he'll just focus his mind and eyes completely on the Lord before leaving the body. The Lord, his omnipotency is displayed by his simultaneous presence in every place. He is present always in the eternal abode of Goloka Vrindavan, and is still present in everyone's heart, even within every invisible atom. When he manifests his eternal transcendental form in the material world, he does so by his internal potency. The external potency of the material energy has nothing to do with his eternal form. All these truths were known to Bhishma Dev, and hence he worshipped him accordingly. So he knew perfectly who is Lord Krishna. he knew his glories. So in the following classes, you know, in the future, you know, we'll hear what is his instructions. And he again glorifies from the core of his heart Lord Krishna. So this is what Lord Krishna wanted to show the world, that actually he is a pure devotee. He just acted in this particular platform. He just acted against me because it was his design. That these are all the things which Srila Prabhupada reveals to us. So sometimes you feel, you go back to the very beginning of the class and where I said that why he is acting so mysteriously. Why he fought against his guru. Why he fought against Krishna. Why didn't he save Draupadi when it was his duty to save? Because he is, if you see the diagram, the Kuru family, he is right in the top. I mean, how can one say that, okay, you know, in order to keep my promise, I will not speak in the assembly, right? That's he's promised that I am going to protect the throne of the kingdom of whoever is the real. Yeah, I'll see him as protect them, you know, and I'll see him as a god, a representative of the god. So Krishna wanted us to know that failure to do these things, you know, the result is really bad. Failure to act on your duty, and then Krishna chooses his devotee to show those examples. Just as Krishna chose Arjun to speak Bhagavad Gita. The summary is, Maharaj Yudhishthir, after being coronated as the king of Hastinapur, visits Bhashmadev, who is soon to leave from the material world along with his brother and Lord Krishna. Many sages from various parts of the universe also participated in this most glorious departure of Bhishmadev to make this most auspicious moment by their presence. They also discussed this particular point.
So, are they making the movement auspicious, or are they participating in the auspicious movement?
They don't think like that, but you know, we need to understand this point that Prabhupada also mentions it, that just by the presence of pure devotee, that the atmosphere becomes auspicious. Wherever they go, they carry auspiciousness.
The Lord is present physically.
Yes,
there,
yes.
So that is the most auspicious.
The most auspicious, yes. Bhishmadev receives them appropriately. Bhishmadev duly receives Lord Krishna, Sri Krishna, the Lord of his heart.
I want to make one comment on duly receiving the guests. Mm-hmm. So somewhere, I think in the third or fourth canto, when the passenger read that, somebody who does not duly receive guests who come to their homes suffer in a particular kind of hell.
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Somebody who looks in like a skewed manner at the guests and with angry looks will suffer in particular. You don't even have to do anything physical. Even if you don't view them properly, you go to a particular level.
Yeah.
Or we go to a particular
level. I think we have been taught by our parents that as a guest comes, you should think that he's just like a Narayana. Mm. Because we don't know whether Lord Narayana is himself has comes. So guest has to be considered like that. Atithi Devo Bhava. Yeah.
The question correctly?
Yes.
Should we invite or receive guests which...